Whether it's a midweek game on the continent or a big weekend clash, cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match of up to $100. This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500.
This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable.
It's Rog. It's Thursday, and a pod 24 hours early, partially because, well, the big football games start tonight, with the US men facing our eternal CONCACAF rival Qatar, before women go again early tomorrow morning against the Netherlands. Yeah, the main reason I'm dropping this pod today is that tomorrow morning I am headed to Chicago, my spiritual homeland, for the first time since COVID, taking my oldest son, Samson, back to that magical kingdom for the very first time in his life. It's a trip that he calls the adventure we've always talked about. And complicit in that is that, and the adventure that Dad has talked about and not acted upon. But tomorrow, we change it. And the main reason we're going is because I'm going to throw out a very, very bad first pitch at the Chicago White Sox on Saturday night. Let's just say I'm aiming for Carly Rae Jepsen first pitch bad.
Carly Rae Jepsen, this is all I'm going to tell you is you're going to have to go back. She gives it a great effort here, but you're going to have to go back to 2009. The official belt holder for the worst ever first pitch of a ball game was Baba Booey, but that one right there is going to give it a run.
But yes, the opportunity to take my son, who is around the same age I was when I first visited, have him roam around East Rogers Park, Soldier Field, inhale the deep dish pizza, gobble down the Italian beef sandwich, just destroy that rack of ribs in a way I once did. It's honestly to experience the circle of life, the conveyor belt of life in the most profound way. To have once been a kid that visited Old Comiskey for the first time as a 15-year-old and fell in love with baseball instantly as I glimpsed it. Essentially, it's chess with chewing tobacco, and now be headed back to take the mound there with my own son alongside me. My own son, who is American, and has a bloody East Coast accent, and everything is to understand the true wonders of this nation, the true wonders of life itself, to be honest. And for everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest, and a time to throw really bad pitches that bounce before they reach the catcher. Go Sox!
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all the way. You're always in their fighting and you do your best.
One note of business. Come and join me, Rog, on Wednesday night on a live stream, a really magnificent live stream with Nick Kroll. I can't wait for this. I'm doing a live stream with my real life brother-in-law, Nick, the co-creator of Netflix's Big Mouth. We will talk about writing, about the act of mining your own autobiography, creativity, adolescence. Please come and raise a glass with us, celebrate my book, and most importantly of all, support LA Indie Book Soup. Love that place. Spent a lot of time there last week. The event is August the 4th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can sign up via booksoup.com. I've signed a special limited edition book plate for this event, which is hand numbered. Come and be with us. Support your indie bookstores now, America. And courage. Okay, sting me up.
Right on, right on. You're listening to Smooth Football Talk with Roger Bennett on WGFOP, The Ball.
That was WGFOP After Dark by Darius in Tampa, Florida. Always so entrancing. And this is WGFOP, The Bald, the show where you call in your gold medal questions and I give you bronze medal answers. Bite your arm off for a bronze medal. Leave a voicemail at 646-450-9472 and it'll be your question that I'm answering next week. And all of this is made possible by DraftKings Sportsbook. Not just my favourite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. Speaking of America, our top athletes, I don't know if you know this, they are over in Tokyo competing for the gold. And DraftKings has a medal-worthy offer for anyone listening. Any of you, place a pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash. Guess? Can you guess? Yes, it's $100 in free credits. I love them! If America wins any medal this year, and I think they will, download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code MIB, that's MIB, 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 when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. That's code MIB, 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 to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Gimme, gimme, gimme for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or old, NGI and a PA only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gamble up on a good way to a gambler in 1-89 or 1-89 with it. Question one, please.
Hi, this is Noah from Austin, Texas. Please excuse my lack of energy. The days of getting up at 4 a.m. to watch the U.S. women will do that to someone. But it's been a shocking tournament so far for Vlatko and his squad. We're so used to winning that maybe the squad has spoiled us. But do you believe that they've just started slowly and will grow into the tournament? Or is there something fundamentally wrong with this Olympics team? Courage.
Oh, Noah! Hello, Austin, Texas! My God, I love the Verde! And I honestly, I wish I could answer your question because the honest truth is no one knows. No one. I wonder if the players themselves know the answer to your question right now. They face, of course, the Netherlands tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN. It's a rematch of the 2019 World Cup final. Rose Lavelle. But the honest truth is the way the US have played so far in Tokyo, that game feels a world away.
Martins turns it over. Break for the U.S. Here comes Kristen Press. Wide for Lavelle. On the left. Golazo! Rose Lavelle in the 42nd minute makes it 1-0 United States.
This veteran-heavy U.S. women's national team, they've yet to recover from the stinging humiliation of that still startling 3-0 opening loss beatdown against Sweden. A game in which, well, they were so woefully outplayed. You have to go back in time to 2007 to remember just any kind of similar experience. And since then, this team, they seem more concerned about losing. So much so that they've forgotten how to win. They're haunted by their weaknesses, not playing to their strengths. That vaunted press, gone. Chances Alex Morgan would normally ruthlessly bury have been hit straight at the keeper. Megan Rapinoe's crossing, uncalibrated, and the vaunted creators, Mewis, Lavelle, Dunn, just not set up in places where they can actually hurt an opponent. Now, the manager, Vlatko, you talk to the players, he's highly thought of, but with this team, that can change in a minute. The US squad is so experienced, so experienced. If you actually talk to former coaches of the team, one of their main reflections is about the task of managing, and not everyone can do this, managing a team that has incredible player power. And if this US team holds together and takes the field with an idea of how to play to their strengths, anything is possible. If not, you know, I can't even say the words. Here's what I do know. This Netherlands team is very good, bloody good. They have scored for fun. Ace Vivian Miedema, she's got 8 goals alone thus far. Yet the back line itself has appeared vulnerable. They can be undone. And we've got to say, this US team, let's remember, is packed with legends. Legends who know how to win tournaments. But they're also aware that failure will lead to the end of an era for many of them. Stakes could not be higher. I draw strength from what GFOP Heather O'Reilly said when she joined me on the pod earlier this week.
I think the US team getting scored on wasn't the worst thing in the world because, I mean, geez, their like record leading into this Olympics was just unbelievable. They weren't even giving up chances. I mean, Vlatko was pretty public with that. He says, we don't want to just not give up goals. That's not good enough for our team. We don't even want to give up shots. And leading into the Olympics, I mean, they weren't. So yeah, you can get a little bit of a invincibility syndrome. So I don't think it was the worst thing in the world to bleed a few goals. 3 was a little bit over the top for me. And even to leak one against New Zealand wasn't great. I'm sure that Vlatko and Andonovski was very upset about that, but it was a good goal. So what can you do? Their psyche's taking a hit right now, but the US is strong. They're strong willed. I mean, you have Carly Lloyd ready to come into the game and rip somebody's head off. I think that she's clearly proven that she has a lot of fire in her. And she also has the legs underneath her right now to be a game changer. If she's not starting the matches, she's going to come in. So I think that there's moments for all these players. I don't think anybody's like made a stamp on this tournament yet. So if you think that, like, I mean, 6 to 7 to 8 players are probably still have a moment left in them in this tournament where they're like going to take over. I mean, like we said, it's an inch. So if they can fix those minute details, they'll be in really good shape and they'll be pouring in goals.
Godspeed, USA. Next question, please.
Hey, this is Bjorn from Alameda, California. I'm a supporter of the San Jose Earthquakes and unfortunately Newcastle. And I heard a lot of derision directed at the Gold Cup. And I have to say, seeing the passion from Hoppy and seeing DK put some goals in, I found that really fun to watch. And it seems like a great proving ground, something that maybe doesn't have as high a level as you might like, but it still seems worthwhile. And I'm wondering if you're still doubling down on the uselessness of the Gold Cup. So that's all. Courage.
Hello, Bjorn. Hello, Alameda. Oh, in the shadow of Oakland Airport. I am delighted, really am, that you've had fun watching the Ari Gold Cup. Here is the story, though. You've got to remember, it's not about fun. I mean, it is, but it's not. The Gold Cup is meant to be the premier football tournament for our region. It's meant to be the Euros. Do you remember the Euros? Do you remember the noise the Euros made? Do you remember the football, the quality of the football? Do you remember the everything? Just the stop the world experience. It's meant to be the Euros of Central America. I'd bite your arm off if it was the Copa America of Central America. It is honestly, let's be honest, it is barely making a dent in the wider sporting consciousness of the American viewing public. Compare tonight's clash against our arch rival, CONCACAF nemesis Qatar, with just the noise around the NBA draft. And that is bad for CONCACAF. And it's worse for US soccer, who are still trying to win back the confidence of the wider soccer curious American sports loving fan base. Not you and me, Bjorn, but that wider sports loving American fan base who are, let's say, soccer curious. They want to win them back. I want them to win them back. We all want them to win them back. They will win them back. But this is a missed opportunity. And worse from a playing perspective, we are about to go into a World Cup qualifying campaign. I believe in this team. I really, really do. The players, please God, a World Cup. And our best squad has hardly been tested against truly competitive competition. That is the agony of CONCACAF. It means inevitably, if you look at the last 30 years of World Cup competition, pretty much the first good non-CONCACAF team we meet in the knockout rounds, they inevitably do us in. You know, sometimes we play defiantly, tenaciously, but we, you know, they do us. And until you stop playing the best, testing yourself against the best, beating the best as a collective and getting that belief that you can beat them, you do not become the best. So this turning out our, what is it, our C team in a competition is just exasperating. It's a missed opportunity. And so if this tournament doesn't sit right in the calendar, don't play it. Don't go through the motions. You know, play the bloody Copa America. Get an invite. Go down there. Play great teams. Take them on. Win some. Lose some. Get some belief. Take them on. Yeah, you can develop players in the past couple of weeks. Sands, if he's good enough to be eased into the squad, and he probably is, ease him into the squad. If Buzio is good enough, and I don't think he is yet, when the time is right, ease him in. We know exactly what the likes of Giossi give us. Self-sacrifice, aka the willingness to have that ball blasted into the net off his face from point-blank range. And the frustrating thing is this tournament has largely been the footballing equivalent of a tree falling in an empty forest. You are right, though. One bright side has been watching the play of young Schalke prospect Matthew Hoppe.
But maintained by Robinson, the turn, Moore, Roldan, lifting, headers in, Hoppe! Finally his reward!
And I love Hoppe because, well, he's a 20-year-old who plays like a snarling ball of aggression and he's reminiscent of a young Clint Dempsey, and I love that. Who doesn't? Ahead of the semi-final against Qatar. By the way, can you imagine for a second if Qatar becomes Gold Cup champions of a tournament sponsored by Qatar Airlines? I'm just saying, peak CONCACAF will have been achieved. USA will try and prevent that and fight for the pride of the football world's most suboptimal region when they take the field tonight in what is ostensibly a preview, I like to think, of the 2022 World Cup final. Make no mistake, Qatar are not a bad football team at all. They've got a core that plays for domestic power, Al Sadd. So they tap into a fluency, a familiarity that most international teams just don't have. The US are favourites. They will be tested. And I hope Daryl DK gets a run out too. I really do, Bjorn. I adore him, partially because of his Barnsley cameo. But that has allowed us to think he is the finished product. He is not. He is still so bloody young. Still so bloody raw. He's still played so few, never mind international games, he's played so few professional games. But I'll say this, his potential upside, it's enormous.
As far as I want to go, I want to, you know, I always say I want to play under the best coaches. I want to play alongside, you know, the best players in the top competitions, like you said, you know, Champions Leagues, World Cups, you know, even in the MLS, you know, getting an MLS Cup, winning competitions. I think, you know, being a competitor like I am, I always want to be involved in competitions, whether it be, you know, with the national team, winning this Gold Cup, winning, you know, Nations League, winning the World Cup at some point. And I think, you know, as long as I keep pushing myself, as long as I keep surrounding myself with these good people, I think, you know, I have the, you know, the right group around me to, you know, achieve those goals in terms of Champions League, World Cup, playing alongside top players, playing at the top level, and enjoying football, enjoying soccer. You know why I play? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's, I wouldn't be playing if I didn't enjoy it. And so that was the main thing, is just making sure I'm also enjoying it, of course.
Rog, mate, I've just finished your book. Truly, truly wonderful. Thank you so much for writing that and giving that to us as fans. Just such a huge compliment to you that you were able to do that at such a dark period in our nation's history. My name is Adam. I'm from Minneapolis. I'm a very big Newcastle United fan for all my sins in life. I'm just really curious to know which was the hardest chapter to write in your book. There are so many parts of that book that just feel so open and honest. And frankly, just reveling in your vulnerability is something that I really enjoyed. So wondering which was the hardest to write. Thank you so much. Courage.
Adam, thank you for your kind words. You know, the way my book has been received by America is so bloody incredibly humbling. And I'm blown away by the way you've all spread the word of mouth, which is crucial for any book. And I am so indebted for what you've done for me. Look, the truth is, to answer your question, I wrote this book in a fever dream. New York City, my beloved New York City, had shut down during the early, darkest, most chaotic, most fear-filled, terrifying days of COVID. Sports that are my life, ground to a halt. And I wrote mostly because I had to. I felt compelled in that moment to re-examine the contours of the greatest and the longest love of my life, the United States of America. And really, I banged this book out like a madman, without ever really leaving the house for 4 months. And well, my wife took a photograph of me when I emerged from writing the first draft. I was in agony, and I actually popped the photograph up on our Instagram when the book went to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. You know, you can look at it. I look like Tom Hanks at the end of Castaway, just beard and socialized. My arms are so unsunned that they're borderline translucent. All of which to say, I didn't really think about what I was writing. I just wrote, and I poured my heart into that task, and I gave it all I have. And I was honestly inspired by my friendship with John Green, that GFOP, that genius really, who has showed that the way to be in the world is to be vulnerable. And the honest truth is, after all we've all been through in the past 17 months, 18 months, you know, the trauma, the fear, the pain, the damage, we now have two choices about how to face the world. We can either try and ignore all of it and just repress everything, or we can let it out and we can face up to the world with vulnerabilities bared in the light of day. And I truly believe, let's just say, only one of those approaches leads to a positive, life-affirming place. Here's a bite of John Green.
I am so grateful to be here with you and with a bunch of GFOPs to celebrate the release of your book. Lots of people who are watching this live or listening to it later haven't read the book yet, but I have. In fact, I've read it twice, and so I feel like I can say with some authority that it is really brilliant, and I am so, so thrilled for you and so grateful to you. This could not have been an easy book to write. It is deeply personal. It's vulnerable and authentic. It's hilarious. You often say that my books are extremely sad and that they make people cry. I have to say, your book made me cry on page 5. I barely cracked the spine before I started to cry. And I had the extraordinary experience, one of my favorite experiences in reading, of crying, and while there were still tears on my face, starting to laugh. That ability that you have to make those railroad tracks of hilarity and sadness run concurrently and parallel to each other is just magic to me. So congratulations on an extraordinary book.
May we all find those railroad tracks of hilarity and sadness. Next question.
Hey, Raj, this is Evan calling again from Philadelphia. I'm a Tottenham Hotspur supporter. I'm just sitting here and thinking about the Simone Biles news about how she's decided to sit out because she just wasn't totally there mentally. And it made me kind of think about something that you talk about a lot, which is the human experience and how sports can represent that. It makes me think about how some of the most powerful moments in sports really have nothing to do with the sport on the field. For me, I think one of the most powerful moments of sports in my life was watching Christian Eriksen fall down on the turf in the first week of the Euros. Obviously not memorable for a good reason, but I feel like it changed me in a really meaningful and thankfully he's alive, so an overwhelmingly positive experience, just kind of the fact that we get to continue on with him. Anyway, I was hoping for your thoughts on the Simone Biles incident, and on the second topic, how you've been inspired, changed, helped, and encouraged by sports moments that maybe don't have to do with the actual play on the field. So I hope that all makes sense. I guess it was kind of a lot. Anyway, thanks, Raj. Courage.
Evan, beautiful question. Thank you, you beautiful Philadelphian, you. Can we just say up front, Simone Biles is a great American. We have no idea what those American gymnasts have been through. Or put another way, what we do know about the Larry Nassar case is a fraction of what truly went on in the most horrific possible way. So I have so many thoughts. Number one, This decision by Simone Biles is unfathomably human to me, which makes it so bloody brave. This, what Simone Biles did, was the most courageous, the hardest thing to do. Number two, Simone Biles' actions will have the greatest lasting impact. This, to me, will burnish her legacy. This incredible moment of seizing agency, of expressing a vulnerability, of letting us all know, with the greatest platform, in the greatest spotlight, to use that to articulate trauma, to acknowledge human pain, agony, feelings that ultimately are greater, much greater than any gold medal. Ignore the culture wars. I hate the culture wars. I hate the Twitter warriors who throw out bait. That's what it is. It's bait. They know very well that by attacking this moment, this woman, this humanity, what they tweet will be picked up and will become news in its own right. And I have no time for that. That is just ambulance chasing. It is. It's a sideshow, a horrific sideshow that the world is better off without. We have to ignore the Piers Morganification of culture, because that is a human darkness that leads us into a terrible place. Let's cast that aside. Cast it aside. Think only of what Simone Biles has done in this moment. Ignore the rest. Think of her actions. Think of her words. Think of what she has made us contemplate about feelings, about humanity, about priorities in the most profound way. And my Lord, we need that. In the same way as you mentioned Christian Eriksen's moment, the Danish team's journey from the opening game of the Euros, the darkness of the collapse, which made us all, forced us all to stop and think about our own mortality, about our own lives, the truth about life, which is, it's all so fragile. It can be gone in a moment. So seize it, thrive on it. Let's take nothing for granted. And God, all hail sports, which we watch for those moments that football gives us week in, week out. That is why I watch, not just for the epic, massive moments. Biles, Eriksen, the Olympics, the Euros, but for the micro moments that football serves up almost every week. The bravery, the tenacity of Raheem Sterling, the redemptive courage of Crystal Dunn, Alisson's header, the joy that brought him in his grief, Harry Kane's self-belief in the face of English doubt, and so on and so on. And that's why we watch, that's why we revel. And more than anything, wow, I know what you're thinking. Everton being champions of September. And who can forget champions of December? And who can forget this?
Everton's Merseyside derby woe is finally over. They've come to Anfield and they've won for the first time since 1999. A run of 23 winless derbies is over and they are level on 40 points with the champions. Delight for Carlo Ancelotti, for Duncan Ferguson. Seamus Coleman had to wait almost 11 years to win another derby.
That's it for today. Go, 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 USA in Chicago. I am coming for you. I will be back on Monday. Oh, to break down all the weekend's happenings. Until then, Chicago, I'm coming for you. To paraphrase a remarkable Nelson Algren, once you've come to be part of this particular patch, you'll never love another. It's like loving a partner with a broken nose. You may well find lovelier lovelies, but never a lovely so real. I truly believe that. I do. Godspeed and courage.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.